The Yoklop is underway. Pete Boyd of the National Weather Service says the latest glacial dam release was on the headwaters of the Taku River at Lake No Lake.
We've had some helicopters flying over who have viewed that glacial dam lake. They did report that it was looking a little bit fuller than normal. However, exact how much we'll be releasing from that, still a bit of unknown. But looking for normal values and releases of about 50,000 cubic feet per second.
Taku River water levels at a gauge near the border are at 41 feet this morning. They've been rising since Sunday afternoon and should peak at about 4 o'clock this afternoon at just over 43 feet. That's barely minor flood stage for the Taku River. Boyd says it appears to be a normal event. No major flooding is expected for any of the properties along the Taku River.
Ice chunks, any kind of trees or other debris from this release, so that'll be kind of the main impact, not so much the water getting into property. Snag stumps, large ice chunks just coming down, so anybody out there on boats or fishing, this will be an effect for them.
Boyd also says the water temperature has dropped significantly, increasing the danger for hypothermia. Andy Story will seek a fourth term on the Juneau School Board. The current board vice president filed a letter of intent with the Alaska Public Offices Commission yesterday, signaling her intent to seek re-election. Story has served on the board since 2003 and is the first candidate to file for one of the three open seats that will be on the October municipal election ballot. She'll have to wait until Friday to make it official. That's the first day candidates can file nominating petitions with the city's clerk's office. The petitions are due no later than August 13th. Three candidates have announced for Juneau Assembly: Lauren Jones, Jerry Nan Curvis, and Paul Nowlin. Former Assembly member Merrill Sanford is running for mayor. Organizers of the new Capital City Market Cooperative think they will have enough money to begin a feasibility study to look at whether a co-op grocery store will work in Juneau. The group, which incorporated just this month in a bid to take over the soon-to-be vacant Alaskan and Proud Market downtown, held an informational meeting last night attended by more than 30 people. Co-organizer Evelyn Russo says the group already had enough money to put a down payment on the $12,000 study. After last night's meeting, she was hopeful the co-op would have enough to pay for the whole thing.
I mean, it's surprising to me, but I guess people from Juneau are from all over. A number of people belong to co-ops in other places they lived in, and they loved it. And they really would love to see a co-op here in Juneau.
Those who gave $500 to become founding members of the co-op had various reasons for doing so. Judy Crondall says losing the only full-service grocery store serving downtown Juneau and Douglas would be a huge blow to the community.
My main reasons is I think it's really critical that we have a grocery store in downtown Juneau. I live in downtown. I have a car, but I love not having to use it.
Karen Laufer likes the fact that the co-op would be locally owned and responsive to the residents of Juneau.
I like the co-op model in the fact that, you know, you are a member and you have a say in an organization and how that organization is run, be it public radio, be it a grocery store, be it whatever it is.
The Capital City Market Group has raised the money despite persistent rumors of a new commercial operator taking over the ANP space. John Williams, real estate broker for the Foodland Shopping Center, has declined to comment on prospective tenants. Russo says until a deal is announced, the co-op feels the best course of action is to continue on with the market study.
The problem is if we stop and wait for someone to tell, for an announcement to be made, we could be waiting a year. We'd really, you know, either we grab the initiative and the momentum that's here because the store is closing or not, and if we're going to grab it, now's the time.
Russo says the feasibility study will look at just more than ANP space, though it remains the group's preferred location. If the effort does not pan out, organizers say whatever money is left over will be split between all the founding members. The group also plans to apply for grants to cover some of the startup costs. A group in Fairbanks planning to open Alaska's first co-op grocery store later this year has raised $1.2 million toward its goal of $1.5 million. A redeployment ceremony will be held at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson today to recognize 22 soldiers who have returned from Kuwait. The Army says that the 486 Movement Control Team left in July of last year for a 12-month deployment to Kuwait, where they provided transportation support for troops moving out of Iraq. Some members were also sent to work in Afghanistan. The unit returned on Sunday, and the ceremony will be at 11 o'clock today at the Richardson Education Center. A military jury has found an Army sergeant not guilty of negligent homicide in the death of an Army private based at Fort Wainwright who killed himself in Afghanistan. Sergeant Adam Holcomb of Youngstown, Ohio, was found guilty Monday on two lesser charges, maltreatment of a subordinate and assault. He faces a maximum of 2.5 years in prison. The 10-member jury deliberated for 2 hours in military court at Fort Bragg yesterday after hearing closing arguments. Holcomb was the first of 8 soldiers to be court-martialed for the alleged racial hazing of Private Danny Chin, who killed himself last October. Throughout the trial, the defense painted Chin as an incompetent soldier disowned by his family. Prosecutors said Holcomb abused Chin because of his Chinese heritage and drove him to suicide. Chin was a member of the 3rd Battalion, 21st Infantry Regiment, 1st Striker Brigade Combat Team, 25th Infantry Division, based at Fort Wainwright, but was under the command of a Fort Bragg general in Afghanistan. 5 people were sentenced in U.S. District Court in Juneau for an oxycodone trafficking and money laundering scheme that operated between Sacramento, California, and Juneau. 26-year-old Jason Rivera of Juneau was sentenced to 5 years in prison and 3 years of supervised release. 33-year-old Brent Mackey was sentenced to 3 years in prison and 3 years of supervised release. 32-year-old Michael Travis Miller was sentenced to 28 months in prison and 3 years of supervised release. 27-year-old Sally Jean Mackey was sentenced to 11 months of home confinement and 3 years probation. And 31-year-old Marquis Thomas of Sacramento was sentenced to 5 years probation. Charging documents indicate the defendants were involved in a conspiracy to distribute oxycodone and launder proceeds from the drug sales from at least June of 2009 to November of 2010. Some of the indictments were handed up by a grand jury in March of this year. And 2 years in federal prison for a Juneau business owner arrested for accepting a drug shipment. 49-year-old Kenneth Edward Hossinger was also sentenced on Friday in U.S. District Court in Juneau. He'll be on supervised release for 3 years. Charging documents indicate that Hossinger was trying to make quick money to cover growing expenses like hockey training for his children. In July of last year, the owner-operator of Southeast Computers and Photography accepted a package of what was believed to be cocaine and ecstasy, but also contained methamphetamine because of what was called bad production. The price of Brent crude oil is $106.28 a barrel. West Texas Intermediate is at $89.34 a barrel. Gold is down slightly this morning, currently at $1,620 an ounce. Silver also down slightly at $28.14 an ounce. A terrorist is expected to visit the tiny University of Alaska Southeast Ketchikan campus today. In the real world, such events are not scheduled, but more and more they are prepared for. And that's what the University of Alaska Southeast system has been doing over the last several years.
Here we go again.
That's Rit Forkel's immediate response to the July 20th news that a man opened fire in an Aurora, Colorado movie theater, killing 12 people and injuring 58. Forkel is the University of Alaska Director of Emergency Management, and he's coordinated so-called active shooter exercises on other campuses. He says the Ketchikan event has been planned for months, but incidents such as Aurora help first responders refine their preparation for the real thing.
Any real-world event like that just reinforces why we do these type of exercises, so that we can test our response procedures and get our personnel comfortable with those procedures, and that just breeds confidence.
UAS will soon hire an emergency preparedness coordinator for the 3 campuses to be headquartered in Juneau. The UAA and UAF campuses each have a coordinator, and Forkel has been filling that role for Southeast.